God today. Let us read, as we read every Sunday morning, Galatians 2 and 20, and that's my prayer, is that you're striving to live the crucified life. And we're not there yet, but we're striving every day to live the crucified life. And let's read that today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. It is good that we can be back in the house of the Lord. It is good that we can come together as a body of believers and that we can share with one another what God is doing in our hearts and our lives, and that we can learn from the Word of God, and that we can take what we hear today, we can apply it to our life, and then we can take it with us and share the good news with others that we come in contact with. And folks, I want to share with you today that I am excited because I know that our Redeemer lives and that He is with us every step of the way. And you and I may be going through some things in life. We may be dealing with some circumstances and some issues, but we know that God the Father will never let us down, for He will always be with us, closer than a brother, than a sister to us, and that He will be with us every step of the way. So if you have your Bibles today, or if you have your Bible app on your tablet or on your phone, let's look at Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 62nd verse. Luke's Gospel 9 and 62, and the title of my message today is this: Don't Look Back. And I want you to know today, especially in your Christian walk with the Lord, the enemy will want you to look back, and he will try to get you to look at your past, and he will try to bring up your past as you are moving forward in Christ Jesus. And we know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know that our sins are under the blood, and we know that we are to strive, as I was saying, about the crucified life every day. But if we're not careful, the enemy will try to detour us and cause us to look back on all of the things that we have done in the past. And all of us today, we all have a past, including your pastor, and all of it hasn't been so great. And so the enemy likes to play on our past. And so I want to encourage you today with some scripture here. And I want to encourage you today not to look at your past, but I want you to know today you are to look to the future. Because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. He who begins a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the very end. So it's never for us to look back, but it is for us to look forward for the future, because God has great and mighty things in store for you and I, and He is ready to come on the scene and show us and give unto us and help us in heading towards the future. So let's look at this here at Luke's Gospel 9 and 62. And Jesus said unto him, this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to read this again. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So I want to share with you today, even Jesus lets us know that it's never for us to look back. It's tempting to look back. It's tempting to see our failures. It's tempting to dwell on our insecurities. It's tempting for us to dwell maybe on our desires that we had in the past. And maybe those things will come our way. But we are to look forward, because guess what? If we keep looking back, and if we look back, then we're not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, we can't be what Christ is wanting you and I to be every day if we keep looking back at the past, if we keep looking back at our past mistakes or our situations or our circumstances. I want you to know your situations, your circumstances, you grow through your mistakes. Every one of us in the sanctuary today has made wrong decisions as well as right decisions. But I'm always at a point that in my wrong decisions, we are to learn from our mistakes and we move forward. It's almost like a child. A child will make a mistake and a parent will have to do the correction. But through the correction, the child does not do the same thing over again because of correction, and you move forward. The same way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He sometimes has to correct us. He has to chasten us. He has to chastise us sometimes to get our attention and correct us to move forward, because He doesn't want us to look back. And I want you to know today we are to move forward in Christ Jesus. Don't look back. It's something that may be gaining in you as His good rule for living. Don't look back. The Bible also calls for not looking back. Looking back hinders your forward progression. Looking back will hinder you to move forward. And folks, I want you to know today, the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. He does not want you to move forward. He will put something in your path. He'll put something in your situation to knock you off of your destination. And I want you to know we have to be vigilant, and we have to be aware of our surroundings. We need to know that what we've done in the past is not for us to go back to our past, but we are to move forward in Christ Jesus. Looking back may be making you even depressed. Looking back may bring you into defeat when you look back and see what you've been through. My first point today, and I'm going to give you 5 points today, so you can stay with me here and write these points down, and I'm going to give you scripture to back up each point. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. 1 John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light," I want you to look at this very closely, "if we walk in the light," Jesus is the light, "as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another." And I want you to know today that when we walk in the light, there is no separation, there's no detouring, there's no mistake, because when we're in the light, as He is in the light. In other words, we're not walking in our ideas, theories, and opinions. We're not walking about what somebody else says or what somebody else does. But we're looking to Jesus Christ as our author and finisher of our faith. When we walk in His light, not our own light, but as we are in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have now have fellowship with Him, because now we are connecting with Him. We're not connecting with the world. We're not connecting with mom and dad. We're not connecting with those around us or the situation of our circumstance. We are now connected into Christ Jesus. Therefore, you can walk with God. You can talk with God. You can speak to God, you can communicate with God, because now you are in fellowship with Him. You have lined up vertically with Him. I've always said, when you line up with Him vertically, then you can begin to minister and begin to do what God calls you horizontally. Things will then come out of you, because now you're thinking on things that are good, that are true, that are trustworthy, that is pure. Therefore, you have the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you can become the disciple that you need to be, the servant that you need to be, and now you can walk with Him with full assurance, because now your faith is not in yourself, but your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, now you have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on and says this: as we have fellowship with one with another, then here it is. Here is the agent. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Calvary, of Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago. The blood has now been applied. When you're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood has been applied. When the blood is put upon you, there's not enough devils in hell that can stop the mighty moving of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ has applied His blood and His Son and cleanses us, His blood, not your blood, not something else, but Jesus Christ has cleansed you from not one sin, but He's cleansed you from all sin. I want you to know today, if we say that we have no sin, look at this, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It is never for us to walk around and say, well, I don't have sin, but she does. I don't have sin, but he does. Well, I don't have sin because of this, because of that. You will become that so complacent in your walk with God that you can't humble yourself, that you can't allow the Holy Spirit to work with you, because you'll get so conceited in yourself that you'll be following all of the law, but there'll be no grace, there'll be no mercy, there'll be nothing that will be extended, because Jesus Christ has extended grace and mercy to us all. So that's why the Bible says, don't walk around and say that you have no sin, because the Bible says that you're a liar and the truth is not in you. But what we have to do is look to ourselves and say, Jesus, I want to be saturated in your love. Jesus, I want the blood to be applied to my heart. Jesus, I want you to sanctify my heart and my mind. And Lord, keep me straight where I can have fellowship with you, and not let me look to the left, not let me look to the right and look to situations and circumstance to knock me off of my relationship with you, Lord. But as you are in the light, I want to have fellowship with you. And Lord, I want you to search me and see if they be any wicked way in my life. Lord, try me, know me, Lord, and see where I'm at today. The Apostle Paul says clearly that we are to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, that we are to examine our hearts and our lives. Let's not get conceited to the point that we're holier than thou, that we're no earthly good. We don't need to come to the point where we're knocking out everybody else's sin except our own. Because the Bible says we've all sinned. Listen, he goes on and says this: we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful, look at this, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, I want you to know today there's a guarantee of forgiveness of sin. Now, I want to go a step further. God is not saving us in our sins. He is saving us from our sins. It is not for us to abuse the grace of God and continue on in the sins that we may commit and we continue on and we can. No, we have to turn. We have to do a bow face. We have to change our ways and to know that we must be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we're to move forward in Christ. It's never for us to stay in our sins. It's never for us to stay in our sins, but it's for us to move forward from our sins. Listen, I want you to know this today. The Bible clearly lets us know that God really does put away our sins. In Psalms 103 and 4, the psalmist writes, as David writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life with destruction from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. For in Psalms 103 and 11 says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His what? Mercies. So great is His mercies towards them that fear Him. Listen, we're to never look back because there's nothing back there for you worth keeping. There's nothing back there for you that will bring you to where you need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your past has nothing but been destruction. Your past has never led you the right way. It has led you the wrong way, especially when you did not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You never made that profession of faith. And the Bible clearly lets us know that Jesus had you on His mind when your mind was not even on Him. That's the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I don't understand, but His love is much greater because your thoughts are not His thoughts. Your ways are not His ways. How unsearchable are His ways? They are far past finding. And He loves us so much that we strive every day to live the crucified life in Christ Jesus. Listen, in Psalms 103 and 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto His children's children. Perhaps you believe this for others, but not for yourself. Maybe you may say, well, Pastor, that's for them, but it's not for us. No, it's for you too. But God has put away all sin, even your most serious ones that you think it's serious. It's almost like in our society today, we have degrees in lies. There is a blue lie, there's a red lie, there's a yellow lie. We've color-coded our lies. And yet in a world, we've also have degrees in sin. Well, he's a murderer, but he just stole some candy. So that's a blue sin, that's a red sin, that's a yellow. Sin is sin, folks. It doesn't matter if I tell a lie or if someone murders somebody. Sin is sin. There's no degrees in sin. And I want you to understand today, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we need to understand as we move in and closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never for us to look back. There's nothing you can do about what happened yesterday. There's nothing that you can do about what happened last week. There's nothing you can do that happened last year. It's gone. It's over. It's done. Now you have to move on in Christ Jesus. Listen, don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Second point, don't look back at defeats that get you down. Don't look back at defeats that get you down. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also in Jesus might be made manifest in our body. As He is in the light, we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him and with one another, and about in the body, it is now manifested. And the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always and always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body." That Jesus will continue to come alive in our hearts and life. That we will continue to strive and work and have the character of Christ, as I've been sharing in my Bible study on Wednesday nights, of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ, and the character of Christ comes alive in us because now we are going as Christ would want us to go, and the example of Christ now lives through us that we may live out through others. All people yet have some defeat in their past. And yet only those who will never attempt anything are free from failing. Only those who never attempt anything are free from failing. But we see in Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, or ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God lifts us up, those who fall, and yet we are reminded that if we go down, it doesn't mean we stay down. You and I will go through some valleys. You and I will go through some persecution. We will go through the testing of our faith. But James says in God's Word that it is the testing of our faith, that we are to be patient in the things that we go through, but it's never for us to return back to the past. It's never for us to look back to the past. But through the testing of our faith, we are to be patient. And the Bible says the Lord will uphold us. The Lord will take care of us even in our moments that we want to try to go back or look back. Or maybe we just want to throw our hands in the towel and throw our hands up and say, "I can't handle this anymore." That's when God becomes God in your life. When you relinquish the things that you've got your hands on, that you're trying to control, that you're trying to fix, when you take your hands off of it, then that's when God will begin to uphold you and help you through, because He sees your heart. He sees the intent of your heart. He knows exactly what you and I are going through. Don't allow failing to make you feel that you are a failure. Let me say it again. Don't allow failing to make you feel you are a failure. My third point today is this. Don't look back at the past and see it better than it was. Don't look back at the past and see it's better than it was. Genesis 19 and 24. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, that which grew up the ground, that grew upon the ground. But his wife, look at this, you know the story. His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God warned that calamity was going to take place. God warned because of Sodom and Gomorrah and because of all the grotesque and all the evil and wickedness is going on. But it was something about Lot's wife. She could not let it go. She could not. She just couldn't resist. And she had to look back. And she looked back, and the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Ecclesiastes 7 and 10 says this. The writer says, "Say not thou, what is the cause of the former days which are better than these days? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." I'm also reminded in Israel looking back to Egypt in Numbers 11 and 18. "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and your flesh ye shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat flesh." And they had quail going out of their ears, because they moaned and they groaned and said, "Egypt looks much better. Oh, we had it made in Egypt. And now we're in 40 years in the wilderness, and we're out here and we don't have anything, and it's not the way it was. And look at what's going on." And God gave them the desires of the heart and said, "You want meat? I'll give you meat. You'll have quail running out of your ears." They had quail for breakfast. They had quail for lunch. They had quail for supper. You see, I want you to understand, the enemy will say, "Look at the past where you was. Look at how hard it is now. Look at everything that you're dealing with now. It was so much better if you just be what you want to be. Say what you want to say. Go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. If you feel good, just do it." You see, that's what the enemy is saying. That's what society is saying today. Do whatever you want to do. But listen, we know that we must be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that it reaps nothing but depravity, nothing but stealing and killing and destroying of what the enemy wants to do with us and with the churches today and with society. He's breaking down the family as we see that in society. We see that everything is happening before our eyes, and God is saying, "Don't look to that stuff, but look to me, for I am the author and the finisher of your faith." He is saying, "I'll take care of you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for you and I." Because God has great and mighty things prepared for His sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if you're serving the Lord today and you've accepted Jesus into your heart and life, you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. He's going to take care of you, because you are in the palm of His hands. But Jesus is saying, "I want a relationship with you. I want to commune with you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to share with you with my Holy Spirit." Listen, let me go on. The Bible lets us know that distance lends enchantment. Nostalgia is never quite honest. Vince Hefner said this: "The presence is never as good as it used to be. A great future beats a great past every time." Third, don't look back at old conflicts that makes you bitter. Don't look back at old conflicts that make you bitter. If you rehearse the old conflicts, the hurt will return. Rehashing those open old wounds will never heal if you keep looking back at the past. Even those we're forgive with forgiveness, where forgiveness has taken place, will become dangerous again if you keep going over them and rehearsing them over and over. Pastor, I forgive them, but I can't forget it. Pastor, I forgive them, but I can't forget. You've got to forgive and forget it. Because Jesus forgave you and I our sins, and He puts it in the sin of forgiveness, and He never ever remembers it again. From the east to the west, from over and over and over, He never brings it back up to you. Because now it's been paid in full through His Son Jesus Christ. And if He has forgave us, and forgiven has taken place, then we are to forgive, because all it's going to do is bring nothing but heartache, and you're not going to be able to move forward in the future that God has prepared for you. Listen, forget the past. Get on to the profitable living. 1 Peter says this in 1 Peter 2nd chapter, starting with the first verse. Wherefore lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes, and desires the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God does not want you to be a baby. He doesn't want you to stay a baby. He doesn't want you to walk around with a bottle in your mouth. Have you ever seen an adult have a bottle in its mouth? No. A baby, when it grows and gets mature and moves on and becomes an adult, the bottle is moved away. That's the same way it is in our walk. If we're not careful, we're going to be like babes, and we're going to be walking around with bottles in our mouth because we're so mad because he did this, she did this, they did this to me. Pastor, you don't know what I went through. You don't know what I went through, blah, blah, blah. Oh, listen, I don't know what you went through, but I know what God's Word says, and I know what Jesus has said. He has said for us to forgive and move on, because we are to forgive even our enemies. Bless our enemies, those that curse you. You still do what Jesus has called you to do and what He has said, and give those enemies to Jesus, because they're not yours. You don't have the battle. It's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. You're to give it to the Lord. You're to hand it over to the Lord. David just didn't fight Goliath on his own. He fought him with the Lord, but he stepped out in faith. But the battle was not David's. The battle was the Lord's. And we have to continue to fight the enemy, but the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Listen, don't look back at old victories that may cause you to think you have already arrived. Don't look back at old victories that may cause you to think you have arrived. Philippians 3 and 13 says this. The Apostle Paul says this. Brethren, I count it not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forth. I don't look at the past. I don't look at the situation. Yes, Paul was a murderer. He was a killer. He crucified Christians upside down. He did all that. But he was struck on the road of Damascus, and God got his attention and said, Paul, why are you going against the pricks? He got him, struck him with blindness, and said, what are you doing, Paul? He got his attention, and God got a hold of him, gripped his heart and his life, and he was changed, and he moved forward, and he did what God called him to do. And therefore, we need to understand, let's move forward and not look back, because God has got great and mighty things for you and I. Listen, here is the primary message in Philippians 3 and 13. I have served the Lord, as Paul says, with all my heart once. I was a soul winner once. I was sold out to Christ once. The question today, what about us today? Are we sold out to the Lord? Are we soul winners for Him? 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says this, and I'm getting close in my closing. But as it is written, and you heard me quote, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save except the Spirit of man which is in him. And even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but now we have the Spirit who is of God, and that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God Almighty. Look up, look unto Jesus as we see. Because in Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father and the throne of God. Look on the fields, and in caring for others, you will forget the past. Let me say it again. Look on the fields. The fields are white. The fields are ready. There is harvest time that's taking place. It is not time for us to look in the past. It's not time for you to look in the past. It's not time to look at failures. It's not time for us to moan and groan about what's happened before. It is now to look our eyes at the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes on the cross. Look forward, for He is the author and the finisher of your faith, and we are to look at the fields, and therefore we will forget about our past, because our past is not important. It is now gone. It is buried. It is dead. You are now alive in Jesus Christ. You have crucified the flesh as we're crucified with Him by the blood bought of the Lamb of God, and now we have power and we have victory on top of victory, that you and I can hold our head up high and know that God has given us the power and the authority to do the work that He's commissioned us to do. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Look ahead, because the best is yet to come. Look ahead. And today you may see all these things around you. You may be scratching your head today, wondering, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why can't it be this way? Why can't it be that way? And we'll look at things and we'll scratch our head. And we'll talk about it. We'll look at it. We may see it on the news. We may hear it through social media. But Jesus said, be not dismayed. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is not going to be mocked. God is going to live out, for He is truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth. And listen, let the naysayers say what they want to say, be what they want to be, go where they want to go, do what they want to do. We as Christians are to stay focused and looking towards the cross and saying, God, You are my Redeemer, and You have redeemed me by the blood of the Lamb.